finish up the series. Say, this is that your mom and dad?
Yes.
Oh, from Mexico.
Yes.
Very nice. Papi, mommy, hello. I don't know how to say it. How do you say it in Spanish?
Abuelo?
Abuela. Abuela? Abuelo. Whatever. Welcome. Just welcome. Nice to see you. And Papu and Yaya? Greek? Gotta throw the Greek stuff in. All right, say, this is my Bible. I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have. I can do what God says I can do. Today I will receive the incorruptible, ever-living, never-changing, Holy Ghost-powered Word of God, and I'll be changed in Jesus' name. Now, if you agree, shout amen.
Amen.
If you don't, say oh my. No. All right, we're going to finish up the series I've been talking about, man, woman, child, the family unit specifically, for the past 3 weeks. Michelle, is she here? Thank you very much for filling in last week. She did a wonderful job preaching in our absence. Thank you so much. And as you know, Brian and Nisa got married last Sunday exactly. You're almost a week. At 11 o'clock, there'll be a week old marriage. So they're still on their honeymoon. Genesis chapter 1, talking about man, woman, child, and how society or the family unit has been fractured because of sin, specifically the male image, the female image. And today we talk about the family unit. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Everybody there? Genesis 1, verse 1, you see it up on the screen. It says, in the beginning. Say, in the beginning.
In the beginning.
This is the very beginning where God planned everything, God designed everything, God created everything, and the way it was supposed to be. Not the way the world is now, it's the way it was supposed to be. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And like I said, if we believe that one statement, we have to believe the whole entire Bible. A lot of people don't believe that God created everything. A lot of people think that things just happened out of nowhere. All of a sudden, poof, the world came into existence. You know, I don't see any new worlds or new people poofing into existence anywhere. So we believe that God created everything. Amen? He created the heavens and the earth, created everything. And so since then, we see God creating, and then his perfect creation was Adam and Eve. They were perfect in every way. Eve never had a headache. That's just a joke. Anyway, all right. Oh, Craig just got it. It took him a couple of seconds. Because there was no sickness. There was no disease. There was no headache. There was no such thing as a stomach ache. There was no such thing as having a bad day. In the beginning, everything was perfect. But then something happened, and that something we call is sin, where Adam and Eve disobeyed God. Sin literally means to disobey. You know, it doesn't mean to do something wrong necessarily, it just means to disobey. When you disobey, that is sin. In both in the Hebrew and in the Greek, it's the same definition. And so sin came and it fractured. Remember, do we still have the mirror pictures up there? Sharon? Do we still have the mirror pictures up there on the screen? If you can bring the first one up, the shattered image, if you can, if it's there. If it's not, just wave and say, no, it's not there, and I'll keep moving. So, okay, so here's a picture of a mirror, correct? Remember we went through this. And what happened was when God created Adam and Eve, he created a mirror image of himself. And that mirror was perfect. If you ever look at yourself in the mirror, it's perfect. What you see is perfect. Sin fractured the image. Sin fractured us. We don't look like we used to look like. Because when God created Adam and Eve, they were perfect in every way. No wrinkles. You know, they had hair. You know what I'm saying? Everything. They had six packs. Steve still has a six pack, right? They had six packs. They were perfect in every way. Sin fractured the image because we are the image of God. Genesis 1:26 says God created us in his image and his likeness. That's what happened when sin came. Now, if any of you ever have a mirror and try to fix it, you can't fix a mirror, correct? What do you have to do to it? You have to throw it out. So what God did is he said, I have to throw out the model. Adam and Eve and them were imperfect, so he had to create a new model. That new model was Jesus, and he's perfect. And he said, if you are in Christ, then you're perfect in every way. Amen? So today we talk about the family. We talked about the male, the female. Ephesians chapter 3. Let's go specifically about the family, because one of the, I will say this before I begin, that the devil has always, always wanted to destroy the family. That is his number one goal. The devil hates the family unit. You look at society today, we have moms, single moms. We have deadbeat dads. We have single dads. You know, we have divorced, remarried, divorced, remarried, divorced, remarried. It's the way it is, but it's not the way it was supposed to be. We have so much dysfunctional in our societies because the devil hates the family. Steve and Kara, love your kid more than anything. You must keep the family together. I don't care at what cost it is. You must be a father and a mother to your kid. Your kid needs a mom and a dad. That's it. If we don't keep the family unit together, our society is destroyed. Now, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, it says this. It says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." I want you to notice here, he's talking specifically about a spiritual family, and this spiritual family is on earth and it's in heaven. Everybody see that? So our family, our spiritual family, is split in half. We have some in heaven and we have some on earth. Good? Those that are in heaven are those that have died. Those who are in Christ and died, those who believed in Christ and they've died, they're in heaven. That's part of our family. And we'll see them one day. You know why? Because God wants to keep the family together. And the rest of us are here on the earth. He's specifically talking about a spiritual family. This church is your spiritual family. If you look around next to each other, that's your brother and your sister. You read the whole Bible, it says, are you your brother's keeper? Absolutely. Pray for one another. Pray for your brothers. You know, we are family. You know what they say? You can pick your nose and you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your friend's nose? No. You can pick your nose, you can pick your friends, but you can't pick family. You can't pick family. Whoever you're born with, listen, I shared a womb with my brother. I shared one womb with my brother. He's my family. Him and I have the same mom and same dad. He will always be my brother. We have the same blood. We came from the same place, shared the same womb. Where I developed, he developed. Do you know how special that is? No one, I don't care who you are, you can never take away my brother. Now, we may hate each other sometimes. We fought each other growing up because we were both black belts, so we try to take it out on each other. We destroyed my mother's lamp one day. We destroyed the couch. You know, my mother used to beat us with a slipper. She was Greek. She used to beat us with a slipper until one day when we got our black belts, we're like, and then she said, I quit. Can't do it anymore. So she couldn't hit us with a slipper because then she started throwing them at us. No, seriously. You know, so, but we trained on, you know, doing the, you know, the Neo Matrix. And so one day she threw a slipper at me and it was coming right from my forehead and I went like this and it broke her lamp. Shattered. Her chandelier went poof everywhere. That was the last time she ever threw anything at me. But anyway, family. You can't stay away from family. Blood is thicker than water, right? And you know what holds the church together? Jesus' blood. Go to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Watch this. Yes, praise the Lord. John chapter 17, Jesus prays. I want you to notice something as he's praying. John chapter 17, verse 20, ready? It says this, It says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. Notice this. He says, that they all be what? One. Watch this. It's as you, Father, and me, and I and you, that they also may be one. Say one. Come on, Angelita. I know you've been missing church for a few weeks, but keep up with us. That's one. He says it again. Watch this. That the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one. See that? Just as we are one. I and them, and you and me, and that they may be perfect in one. Now, Jesus isn't saying, like, listen, you stubborn, thick-headed Italian, Greek, Irish people, listen to me. One, 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 one. He didn't say that. When Jesus repeats himself, it's because he's stressing something. And he said that we may be one five times. In other words, saying, you guys are family. And he goes, if you don't think you're family, I'm praying that you understand the meaning of family. That you're one. I belong to you, you belong to me. And he prays it over and over and over and over and over again. He's repeating himself because it's important to him. Now listen, you have got to believe that God put you in a church. This church, so to speak. If you're here, and you are a member, you got to believe God put you here. The day you leave because of a situation or disgruntled, I don't like what he said, I don't like what they said, I don't like what they look like, you are destroying the family. God creates local churches to be families. And when one person leaves, it disrupts the family unit. The reason why people don't like being part of a local church is because they don't understand family. The concept of being one, yeah. Thick and thin. I don't care what we go through. I'm family. I'm with you. I'm praying for you. I'll take it on a chin for you. I'll take a hit for you. Why? I'm family. The reason we have kids going astray today is because they don't know the concept of family. They're looking for family. And there's kids that come to this church who don't have a dad or a mom, and guess what? We're their family. I think of Isaiah all the time. Isaiah, 3 years old, walked in here. Now he's a businessman, master's degree. He's, Obama's number one man now, right? Obama picked him for a huge award to lead a transformation for the whole city, correct? He's working on a city of Hartford. Picked. Why? Because we were family to him. Amen. So don't split the church. Don't split your family. You have a spiritual family, you have a physical family. The reason why God gave you mom, dad, and a kid is to publicly illustrate, portray, display what it is to be family. And here's the problem, ready? When you have a dad who's deadbeat, doesn't show up, left the family, how does a kid believe the Bible? When Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, yeah, but my dad left. Or when a mom bails on the family because she finds another guy who's got a seven-pack. I've got an eight-pack, by the way. No, mine's a keg. Anyway. The mom leaves. The kid's like, well, wait a minute. How do I believe him when the ones God gave me don't stay true to their word? Talk about dysfunctional. Parents, stay with each other no matter what. Go to Matthew 19. I want to show you something. Matthew 19. Watch this. Church, this is why it's important to be part of a church, because when there's families that are struggling, you're there for them. Matthew 19. Matthew 19, watch this. Ready? Matthew 19, verse 3. Matthew 19, verse 3. It says, the Pharisees also came to him, testing him, and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? They're asking the man a question, trying to trip him up and test him. Now notice Jesus does not give his opinion. Watch how Jesus answers. And he answered and said to them, have you not read the Bible? Have you not read? Look, he says, have you not read? In other words, dude, didn't you read your Bible? What's the matter with you? You guys are the Pharisees. You guys are the pastors, the Bible scholars. Have you read your Bible? Have you not read where it said he made them where? At the beginning. Have you not read where he made them at the beginning? Did you notice where he goes when it comes to marriage? He says, haven't you read that at the beginning? What's the beginning? Where it was perfect. Notice he didn't say, well, have you not read what the Hartford or, you know, what the White House just put out or what the Senate just put out? Haven't you read the laws? You know, haven't you read what the Hollywood says about marriage, that it's okay to not be married and, you know, divorce. He says, haven't you read at the beginning the way it was? It was perfect in every way. He says, God made them male and female. You notice the standard? The beginning. Ready? He says this, Verse 19. He says, have you not read? He made them male and female. He says, and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer one flesh, but therefore God had joined together, let no man separate. Watch this. Now they try and trip him up. He goes, okay then. He says, they said to him, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away? And he said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts. Notice he says, this is the way the world is today. Did you notice that? Let me back up. Let me say this, and you may not like what I have to say, but we will always have divorce in this world. We're always going to have divorce. Remember Jesus said we'll always have poor people. You always have poverty. We're always going to have sickness and disease. We're always going to have war. And the reason why is because sin. And he said, listen, the reason why Moses gave that law is because of sin. But that's not the way it was when my father and I created the world. Let me tell you this. When God created everything, he made it perfect for us. That was his original plan. He wanted everybody to have a mommy and a daddy and to go up, raised together until they passed away. One of the greatest things, and I told Ricky this, the greatest thing that you can do for your mom and dad is escort them into the gates of heaven. Listen, your mom and dad, my mom and dad were there the day I was born. They welcomed me into this world. One day, I will walk them into heaven's gates. In other words, one day my parents will die before me. My job is to be there and hold their hand when they see Jesus. You understand that? They welcome me. I will escort them right up to the door. That's the greatest privilege for kids, when they escort their parents right to heaven's door. Say, Mom and Dad, I will see you soon. Amen? Notice what Jesus said. That's not the way it was in the beginning. But we have divorce. We have all these issues. Why? Because of sin. Genesis chapter 3. Ready? Now it's going to get really good. I'm going to wind up soon. Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve get married. He's not looking. Adam and Eve get married. Right? God creates, pulls Eve out. brings him, and Adam says, "His bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, the two shall become one flesh." Adam and Eve get married. The devil hates the family. And the first thing he does the moment they're married is he shows up at their door. Listen, they just said their vows, and Satan shows up at their door. And he talks to Eve. Did God really say? And then Eve goes to Adam. You got it up there? "Now the serpent was more cunning than the beast of the field, what the Lord God had made, and made the woman. And God, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden?" Because Adam and Eve were God on the earth. And Satan hates the family. And he saw that and he said, "Man, if I don't do something, I'm sunk." And he goes after the husband and the wife. And the days after they're married, he destroys them. They have a kid. Listen to dysfunctionality. They have a kid named Cain. They have a kid named Abel. Talk about dysfunctional. Cain murders Abel. You want to know why Satan is killing kids in the womb? Because he hates family. He hates kids. When Moses was born, what did they do? He went out to kill every kid under the age of 2 years old. When Jesus was born, what did Satan do? He went out and killed every kid under the age of 2 years old. He hates children, and he kills them now in the womb. Or if you're in Virginia, when you're born, he'll still kill you. That's demonic to its core. It says it right here. He had the firstborn kill the secondborn. Gosh. 20 generations later, 20 generations later, God finds somebody named Abram. Watch what he does, because God still loves the family. Genesis chapter 12. I'm almost done. "Now the Lord said to Abram," verse 1, "get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, make your name great. You shall be a blessing." Watch this. "I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." You notice that God is back? He says, "Now I'm going to fix the family." He says, "Abraham, I'm going to fix all the families through you." See how God loves the family? God loves the family. God loves kids. God wants kids to be born. God always uses families. Let me give you a couple examples and we'll be done. Remember when God sent the flood? What did he pick? He picked Noah and his family to save them. God took one family to save mankind and he put them in an ark. Abraham, God says, through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I will bless the earth. I want you to think about this. Let me back up for 1 second. Remember Cain kills Abel? Brother kills brother. Abraham has a first son named Ishmael. Ishmael and Isaac were foes. They're brothers. And Ishmael hates Isaac. Do you know we still have that today? The Palestinians hate the Jews. The Palestinians were fathered by Ishmael. The Jews were fathered by Isaac. They still hate each other. What I'm saying is, families, you need to love one another. Because when you hate one another, you're doing what Satan wants to be done. You want to hear something really wacky? My father's brothers don't talk to each other. My father had three brothers and a sister. Two of the brothers don't talk to each other. Two others don't talk to each other. His sister doesn't talk to him. Total dysfunctional. And if I go back a generation, my grandfather didn't talk to his brother. Strings. And next week I think I'm going to talk about generational curses. Strings. Think about this. And you know why? Over land. There's an island in Greece that is supposed to be cut up in five different ways. But one person wants more olive trees than the other. They say, my father's got the least olive trees. And he says, I don't care how many olive trees you get. Just sign the paperwork. Let's split the property so my dad can give me and my brother an inheritance. And they say, no, I want more olive trees. And they hate each other. They don't talk to each other at all. How dysfunctional is that? I sat down with my cousins, my generation. I said, come hell or high water, we will always talk to each other. Let's not allow the curse of our parents to come on us. Because that would be so wrong. How bad it is when we hate each other. Brothers don't talk to each other. Sisters don't talk to each other. Mary, remember Mary? Gabriel shows up. Tells you you're going to have a kid. And what does he do to Mary? He says, Mary, go talk to your cousin Elizabeth. In other words, family. God loves family. Paul speaks to Timothy. He says, Timothy, I know you. He says, I now know the faith that it's in your mother Eunice and your grandmother Lois. In other words, faith can go down from generation to generation to generation. Kara, Steve, the faith that you have, give it to Mason. Anna, she gave it to Steve. Right? Yes. Steve loves God. I don't care what you say. Steve loves God. That's why he's here. And he wants his kid raised in church. That's why Steve is here. Finally, there's a lady named Rahab in the Bible. Everybody know her as the harlot, right? She's the prostitute. Hebrews 11. Think about this. God put in the Bible that she was a harlot. You can call it whatever you want. Prostitute, whore, doesn't matter. That's who she was. And God put it in the Bible and said she was a harlot. But he said she saved Israel. Now let me say this. God did not put that in there to demean her, to throw it in her face. Oh, you're nothing but a harlot. He didn't do that. He did it to remind us that he doesn't care where you've been, where you come from. He'll give you a new life, a new hope. He says, I've taken harlots, I've taken murderers, and I've changed their lives. Jesus changes lives. Think about this. Rahab then becomes the great-great-grandmother of King David. How special is that? In other words, Jesus came from a harlot. Jesus came from Rahab. It's his lineage. Remember Ruth? Lady named Ruth, she was a Moabite. And God said, Israelites, you can never marry a Moabite. They're heathen. They worship other gods. They're no good. So guess what Boaz does? He marries Ruth. Boaz is David's great-grandfather. Ruth says this, no, we can't get married, Boaz, because I'm a Moabitess. I'm the lowest of the low. We're not about to get married, you know, we're not allowed. He goes, come here, honey. Let me introduce you to my mother, the harlot. In other words, God doesn't care where you've been. Actually, God loves those that are the lowest of the low. Because those who are high and mighty, prideful, he can't do anything with them. But if you've been a dysfunctional family, if you've been raised by a mom only or a dad only, God says, I'll be a father to you. He says, I'll be a brother to you. He says, I'll change your life. I'll give you a new hope. I'll give you a new way. I'll put you on your feet again. I'll give you a second chance. All because of Jesus. Amen? Jesus did it all. Jesus fixed it all. Jesus is all. He's everything. And he loves the family. Amen? Bow your heads, please. Close your eyes. Bow your heads and close your eyes for a minute. Please, nobody looking around. Nobody looking around. Close your eyes, please. And bow your heads. I'm just going to ask you a question. I believe there's people here this morning who hate their dad or hate their mom. I believe this message is for you this morning. And I'm just going to ask you to do this one little thing. Just forgive them. And let God be your father. Let God be your mother. Don't hold grudges anymore, because it's going to tear your life apart. It'll make you worse than you've ever been. You think your life is bad now, it will get worse unless you forgive. So if that's you this morning, yeah, Pastor, that's me. I need to forgive my dad. I need to forgive my mom. Just raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or anything. But if that's you this morning, just raise your hand. Thank you for that hand. I'm going to put it down. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? Thank you for those hands back there. Thank you so much. Thank you. God sees your hands. Anybody else want to raise your hand this morning? Thank you for that hand. Thank you. Thank you for that hand. Anybody else just want to acknowledge, you know what, that's me, I need to forgive. I'm begging you, you need to do this. Your life will not change. It will just crash and burn. You need to forgive. Maybe you had a husband that bailed on you. Maybe you had a wife that bailed on you and left it alone to raise the kids. I just want you to know that Jesus loves you. He didn't want that to happen. He said it. It's not the way it was in the beginning. And don't blame God for it. It's just the way life is. We live in a fractured society. And what he wants to do is heal you. What he wants to do is heal your heart and show you there is a better way. His name is Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God loves you more than you know. God loves you more than you know. I'm just going to ask you one more time. If you've been abandoned, if you feel you've been abandoned by a husband, by your wife, by your dad, or your mom, I'm going to ask you one more time. Just say, yeah, that's me. Raise your hand. Thank you. If you haven't done it before, thank you, thank you, thank you. If you haven't done it before, thank you over there. Thank you. Anybody else? I really believe God wants to heal some hearts tonight, this morning. God wants to heal your heart this morning. It's not the way it was supposed to be. Not the way it was supposed to be. It was not the way it was supposed to be. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life. That's why he came. And guess what? You can look up. Guess what? When he went to the cross, he died for you. Said the way your dad treated you or the way he didn't treat you, he said, I'm going to go die for you. I'm going to take all his sins on the cross. Or if your husband left you with everything, he said, I'm just going to go ahead and die in his place. I'm going to pay the price for his sin so that you can be free.
You sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know. thought I was worth saving. You came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life. So I could be free. So I could be whole. So I could tell everyone I know. Help me say,
is how much he loves each and every one of us in this room. And I don't believe you're here by accident this morning. God wants to heal your heart.
Yes.
You know, a lot of us put on tough faces, but deep down inside we're hurting so bad. Deep down inside we wish we only had a daddy. Wish we only had a mom. Now, you're probably looking at me and say, well, you have two parents. They're still married. They're still together. But guess what? I married someone. Wasn't raised with a mom. I married someone who was totally rejected by her mom and dad. Lived with a family, raised by a family who hated her. Called her an oddball. She had black hair, black eyes. And her sisters had blonde hair, blue eyes. She wasn't part of their family. I know what rejection is like. I know the hurts, the rejection, stuff that she has lived with. But after 31 years of being married to her, I know that only Jesus can heal her heart. And I know that she made me a promise and made her a promise. Herself a promise that she would be the best mommy ever. Her mom abandoned her. Her mom, when she was 3 years old, was out sleeping around, getting drunk and sleeping around, and just decided not to come home. It was better for her to be in bars instead of raising her three daughters. Dennis made a decision. I'm not going to allow that in my family. Dennis has stayed put, hell or high water, even though sometimes Ariana drives her crazy. Even though Christopher doesn't pick up his clothes. Nicolette, of course, is perfect. And Jamie, of course, Jamie, number one son, can't do any wrong. Gave her a grandchild, first grandchild. And guess what her mother happened to her mother? Her mother's mother abandoned her, gave her up for adoption, didn't want her. So the curse goes back three generations. And guess what Janice's sister did to her kid? Gave her up, right? Gave up their kids. All of her family gave up their kids. Janice decided it's not going to happen. I'm going to give my life to Jesus. And he healed her heart and made her a mama. I'm not trying to lift her up, because there's a lot of great mommies in this room. But I just want you to know, I talk from experience, because I lived with her for 31 years. Longer than her, she's lived been a lot. No, right. You've been with me longer than you've been single. Praise the Lord. All I'm saying this morning is, give Jesus a chance. Let him heal your heart. That's not the way it was from the beginning. Sin messed it up. People mess it up. Listen, we're two imperfect people. But marriage is a perfect union. Family is perfect. I know she doesn't want like me sometimes. I find that hard to believe. But sometimes I don't like her. But you know what? We stick together because we're family. Amen. We're going to receive communion because the Bible says that a family is supposed to do that. So I'm going to ask ushers to come up. You don't have to receive if you don't want to. Just, you know, wave off the ushers if you don't want to receive with us. But you're more than welcome to receive communion with us. Just hold it. We'll receive together. Thank you, Linda.
Through the fiercest drought and storm, what heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease, my comforter. Here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless pain, this gift of love, this righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross where Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he arose again. As he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. In life fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry till final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns and calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand.
Says that on the night that he was betrayed, he held up the bread. The bread represents his body that was ripped apart and broken for us. The Bible says, according to Isaiah 53:5, that by his stripes we were healed. As we receive this morning, we declare his broken body was made for the healing of ours. Father in heaven, we thank you for the broken body of Jesus. And as he hung on the cross, whipped and beaten, it was for the healing of our bodies. We thank you in Jesus' name. Go ahead and partake. And the same night he held up the cup and he blessed it and he said, drink, for this is the cup of the new covenant. And in it we have forgiveness of all our sin forever and ever. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead and partake. I'm going to ask you to stand for 1 second. Go ahead and stand up. Why don't you grab the hand of the person next to you? Hold the hand of the person next to you. We're family, remember? Amen. Say amen. Hand the person next to you. Grab your brother's hand. Come on, brothers, don't fight. Not yet. Later. Father, I thank you for these. Father, I declare this wonderful family. I ask that you would bless them and keep them. May your face shine upon them. May your grace go with them. I pray your peace and mercy to always be there, overtake them, and your angels to watch and guard them. And I ask that you would bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. Shake somebody's hand before you leave. Congratulations to Steve and Kara. Godparents, have a wonderful day. But, and it's Janice having a meeting. The kids' choir today, yep.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty? So much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings.
Who shakes the whole earth?
Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder
and grace
and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings.
Hey!
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love.
Hey, Brother Calvin, can you turn Lisa's mic on too? I want to. We'll do what we did last week as well. What do you got? Friend of God and
Hello.
By myself. Thank you.
Don't say that.